Dear friends, as we are gathered together today, I'm just reminded of the verse that tells us the presence of God. It says, where two or three are gathered in my name, as we are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence is always felt. We thank you for joining us today, wherever you are. It's our prayer that God will continue to be with you as you step into this new month. If you realize there are certain events in our life, or even certain people or certain actions or emotions that we always tend to remember. And many a times, these events or people or even actions identify with us. Now, many people can even pinpoint the exact moment in their life which was forever changed by a single event. You know, when that event happens, it becomes an unforgettable memory for us, because it tends to teach us about life and also to give us guidelines to live in this world. For example, those who have gone have a traumatic experience in their life, you tend to identify with another person who have been with a similar traumatic event because you have experienced it, you had some learnings from it. And then there are joyful moments in our life too. When there are certain joyful moments that we tend to treasure, we tend to recall, and it brings a lot of joy in our lives. It shapes our thinking and also in many ways affects our life. Now today, we have come to an event that is so powerful. That's the Holy Communion. The elements are simple, but it speaks about the time that we had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful, a life-changing encounter. So every time we come to the table to have communion with the Lord, it continues to bring back memories of the way that we had an encounter, and it continues to impact our lives. It shapes our thinking and also the decisions that we make. This morning, I want to turn our attention to the gospel that was just read to us, Luke chapter 22. On the theme, communion, covenant, and commitment. Let's spend some time asking God to be with us as we spend some time together to look at God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this communion. It's a time, O God, that we come together because you have called us, Father. It's a wonderful meal, and we want to have this meal together with you. We want to experience your spiritual presence. And so, Lord, as we, before we come, we pray that you will, Lord, help us, Lord, to draw lessons of God from this particular passage. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us would like to have new things. The smell of a new car brings smiles to us. A new computer, a new phone, a new working environment, or sometimes a new place that we visit, you know, it brings some kind of joy in us. Even a new hope for the month, a new challenge for the month, brings about, you know, joy in our lives too. Today we gather as a church to celebrate and also to observe the Holy Communion, you know, which is as old as a Christian tradition. It has been there for more than 200 years where Christians have been gathering at the Lord's table to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us because of love. Though it is an old practice, but you realize it is always eternally new about the Lord's Supper. It speaks to us about who we are. It speaks about our spiritual journey. It also helps us to reaffirm, to renew our commitment and also our trust and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. But every time we come to the communion, we begin to realize that God is working in our lives, my friend. New things in our life. He wants to bring newness in our life. And so as we look at Luke chapter 22, realize Jesus is using this word, very powerful word. He says, I give this new, a new covenant with you. And that's the word that Jesus is sharing with us. So the communion is a new thing for the disciples. And this is a new thing for us too. What is the new thing that Jesus is talking about? You know, and how do I come having this fellowship with God in this communion? Firstly, when you look at the passage in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus says that this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus says, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, the new thing is a new remembrance about Christ. It's a new remembrance about Christ. You know, before we look at what is remembering Christ, and I just want to look at the word remember. It's a very interesting word. When we hear the word remember, immediately we think of the word recollecting, right? Something that we bring to our mind, something we tend to recall that happened in the past. But when in Jewish literature, the word has a different meaning altogether. It means you're participating here and now in certain defining events in the past and also in the future. You know, Dr. Warren Wise, a great theologian, a writer, and a scholar, defines the word remember interestingly when he speaks about Holy Communion. He says it carries out the idea of a present participation in a past event. So he says that this is not some magical experience that we experience by taking the cup and the bread, but it is a spiritual experience that comes through our discerning of Christ and the meaning of the supper. So it's a spiritual experience. So every time we gather together to take communion, it's a spiritual experience. At the same note, it's a spiritual renewal that happens in our life when we come with that kind of thinking. Jesus said, you know, remember. He says, remember me. I believe when Jesus was saying that word, yes, the disciples knew the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry, the things that he was doing. But what was Jesus inviting the disciples to remember? When you look at the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mission of the Lord Jesus was to give his life for us. I think that's what Jesus was calling the disciples to remember. Not only his earthly ministries, not only his teachings, not only the miracles, but to remember that Jesus came and his mission was to conquer sin and death. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, today you and I can experience forgiveness, my friend. That even happened in the past and it happens even today. Now we have forgiveness of sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember and also we rejoice for the love of God that is revealed through the Son, Jesus Christ. And so we remember God's love, that God's love is so special that he was willing to send his only begotten Son and to give him a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. And that's what Jesus wants us to remember, about his loving, his sacrificial life for us. At the same time, we need to remember, you know, what is Jesus bringing? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, death will no longer hold us forever. We have a new life because of what Jesus is doing in our life. So when we come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, we remember his love, his forgiveness, the peace that comes from knowing God, the assurance, the joy that is known by experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And today I believe, you know, the Lord is inviting us to, when we come into the table with open arms, to experience him, to experience his forgiveness and his love. And so when we come to the table, let's come with that kind of spirit. The Lord invites us. And He invites us to the table so that you and I will experience His love, will experience His forgiveness, will experience His peace and joy, and come with a joyful mood, right, to the table. Secondly, when you look at the word new, you know, Jesus is saying, do this in remembrance of me. You know, I was looking at the word very carefully. Jesus says, do this. The word do is poio, right, in the Greek word. It means thinking, or more than thinking. It is not just thinking, but it's more than thinking. It denotes action that you begin to undertake. You do something that brings about an event, my friend. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, you know, it's more than thinking. You need to be action-oriented. You need to put it into practice. You need to bring it again and again. And that's why you realize throughout history, right, the Christian church has always come together to celebrate the Lord's table at the first day of the week. And it was a common meal. It was a shared meal. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of renewing their faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we say it's a new responsibility, right? Why? Because we need to do this in remembrance of Christ. So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance, it's not only about our relationship with Jesus, but it's also our relationship with one another. When we come to the Lord's table, I'm coming because of God has invited me, and the Lord has invited the body of Christ together. And together we are there at the communion time. You know, when you look at passages of the Bible, very specifically read Paul's writing, you know, the church had a problem when they came together for communion. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. There was a huge problem when they came to the common meal, because in those days, the Lord's Supper was a common meal, because some of them were eating their own supper rather than the Lord's Supper. And so Paul is warning them and saying that they should be doing that in their own homes, not in the church. They brought their own food and they ate it individually. In other words, they were not combining their food. And that brought a lot of issues and problems, and they were not observing the Lord's Supper. There was no place for the poor and the needy. And so, according to Paul's word, you know, communion is not communion if you don't see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to extend the love of Christ to each and every one of us as we come to the Lord's table. So the communion reminds us that the ground is level at the cross, my friend. I think all of us have heard this word, right? One Christ, one body, and one. Yes, my friend, today the church is reminded that at the Lord's table we are one people. We are one body because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And divisions cannot sit at the Lord's table. Barriers to this fellowship are to be dealt with before we even come to enjoy the communion. You know, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unites. And it also brings us together as one body. So as we approach the Lord's table, let me encourage you. Let me challenge you. Take a time to open your hearts to the Lord. And open your hearts to one another. Love one another regardless of your differences, of even preferences. If there's someone that you are holding something against, I would encourage you to pray. Seek God's forgiveness and ask Him for His grace to be upon you, and that God will help you too. And so that's the spirit that God wants us to come, because this communion It's about the Lord's love. And the Lord's love has to be found in our midst, in our lives. And we need to be showing forth that love, my friend. Thirdly, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you know, new, right? But let me look at Paul's writing. Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, he says, so whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know, Paul uses the word, you proclaim. I see there is a new relationship. It's not just coming to the Lord's table and just participating, but there is something beyond. We proclaim, you and I proclaim. It's a very interesting way Paul is using the word proclaim. You know, Paul is using a very positive word here to express the intention for Christians at the Lord's table. In other words, the way Paul is using the word proclaim, right, it's a good news that is worth announcing. It's a happy urgency in Paul's word of choice. Right? So in other words, he's saying, do not hide about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not feel ashamed about it. Continue to declare it without any hesitation. It's a joyful thing. And so you and I are called to proclaim the Lord's death, my friend. And so we proclaim the Lord's death. Because when you look at the Lord's death, it's not a tragedy. It's about love. It's about God's redemptive plan. It's about God's love for each and every one of us. And then when you look at the word very carefully, Paul says proclaim. In other words, you know, he uses the word in a way, it's a mandate to all of us. It's a call to all of us. So when I have communion with the Lord, I leave this place with the great news, the wonderful and a challenging news, the news of the gospel. And it's a call and a mandate to all of us. The Great Commission that we read from Matthew chapter 28, my friend. So today, in a pluralistic culture, we need to proclaim the good news of the gospel. We shouldn't be embarrassed, my friend, to say that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 speaks about it. There is no salvation in no one else, right, except through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church, well, having the problem in chapter 3 verse 11, he says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. I know, you know, proclaiming can be very challenging. In a very pluralistic culture, in a society, in environments where the gospel is not really accepted. But Jesus calls us. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, right, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, I was looking at some statistics about the number of Christians who have given their lives for the gospel. I was reading an article from the Open Doors, a world watch list, about the report for the year 2020. They say every day, 8 Christians worldwide are killed because of their faith. Every week, 182 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. And every month, 309 Christians are imprisoned unjustly. You know, my friend, because they are compelled to share the good news of the gospel. You and I are called to share, to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until when? Until he comes. That's what scripture tells us. Until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in many evangelical churches, when they come to the Lord's table, there's always a word that always they proclaim. And this word, the words are, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Until he comes, Christ will come again. And today, my friend, before we come to the table, let us be confident. And let us be confidently expecting the Lord's return. I was reading a quote by a writer. He says, the world says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the church says differently, he says, eat, drink, and remember, for tomorrow we live. Yes, tomorrow we live. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. He showed us his love. Forgiveness is there. And hope is assured, my friend. What a promise. What a promise. When we come into the table, let us be assured there is forgiveness, there is love, there is hope, and there is joy when we come to the Lord's table. Friends, we have gathered here today, right, to bring together. Before we come together, I just want you to spend some time to examine your life, your spiritual journey, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God to speak to you. If the Lord invites us, let's ask God to speak to us, that we will come, that our presence will be real, and we will be honest in the sight of God. So let's approach with humility, with repentance, with faith, with love, with hope, and also with joy. As we take some time, let me read this verse from Luke chapter 22:18 onwards. Luke 22:18 onwards. And Jesus says, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they have eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you. It's a new covenant in my blood. It's always a joy to come into the Lord's presence. We thank God for his love. We thank God for the forgiveness that we experience. And we say, Lord, here I am. We thank God that the Lord is with us as we partake this coming. The body of Christ given to us. Blood of the new covenant. Father, we thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you are making everything new, Father, because of what you did on the cross for us. Lord, as your word has reminded us, we thank you to remember you, O God, a new remembrance of Christ, that his love is still available, his forgiveness is still available, a new responsibility that has been given to us to care, to love one another, God, in the body of Christ. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the new responsibility, O God, that has been given to us too. Help us to proclaim your word until you come. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.